Since I have you for a few more minutes, I do want to raise a concern. I can only speak for myself. It's a concern that I have, and I think others, I think realistically others do share it, with regard to what's called the Specific Ministry Pastor Program, usually called SMP, and then by extension also what's called sometimes lay ministry. My concerns are educational here. This is where you'll explain to us what it is, but my concerns are educational, in particular with regard to a firm grounding in the biblical languages, the original languages. I have a concern about the impact on how it might change our view of the office of the ministry, and a concern that I think you might share as well, that training for this kind of ministry is often non-residential. That kind of formation doesn't take place. What are your thoughts about the specific pastoral or specific ministry, pastor and lay ministry?
Sure. That's, I mean, it's a very legitimate question, and it's one that we as a synod have been particularly struggling with over the last 20 years or so, since the Wichita Convention of the LCMS in 1989, which gave a kind of legitimacy, official character would probably be a better way of putting it, to lay ministry in particular, through convention action. But there had been, already had been, in the Synod, kind of unofficial lay ministry activities going on previous to that point. So there was a perceived need, and then a kind of solution offered that created some real consternation among a lot of people in our Synod. It's never been a particularly settled question in terms of how best to approach this. And to that end, maybe a historical word to toss into the mix, I think the Synod recognized this from the beginning when it, in its first constitution, talked about three kinds of legitimate pastoral preparation. There was the theoretical seminary, which is today the that was the predecessor of Concordia Seminary St. Louis. There was the practical seminary, as it was called, which was the seminary at Fort Wayne, later Springfield, now back in Fort Wayne, and for a brief time with St. Louis as well. And then there was also a recognition of, in really exceptional circumstances, where a pastor could train a pastoral candidate on his own, kind of a mentor and a mentee relationship. But what was clear from the Synod from its beginning was that there are exceptional circumstances, and then there's the way we want to carry this forward. And so the emphasis within the Synod always was on pastoral education, pastoral formation at seminary, whether practical or theoretical, previous to examination by peers, call and ordination. So those four things were really in the mix: education, examination, call and ordination. And even while the Synod recognized those exceptional circumstances, it worked very, very hard to make it the case that those remained truly exceptional. After 89, they become more and more and more part of the regular conversation of the Synod. But we haven't settled on what that actually means or what it actually should look like. In the mid-90s, we developed the Distance Education Leading to Ordination Program, the DELTO program, in which a man would be placed typically in word and sacrament ministry for a period of 6 years while he studied before he was ordained, before he was examined, called, and ordained. So you would have essentially word and sacrament ministry, then education, then finally examination, call, and ordination. And to many, that reading, that process was confused. And so the SMP, the Specific Ministry Pastor Program, was proposed, offering a very concise and targeted kind of theological education before examination, then call and ordination and word and sacrament ministry, which is more of a consistent way of working with the historic Lutheran position on this. Now, the question is, and the question I've always raised, I supported SMP in 2007 at the Synod Convention because of the way it reordered the process by which a man entered the ministry. The question that I think we still need to grapple with as the Missouri Synod comes right out of the book of, is it 1st or 2nd Timothy? I can never remember. It's 1st Timothy. Chapter 3, where it says that a man going into the office of ministry must be apt to teach, must be able to teach. That assumes he has a familiarity with theology in a pretty significant way. And in the Missouri Synod, we've always said, in a very significant way. The Missouri Synod has always wanted well-trained pastors. And I believe, given the postmodern setting in which we find ourselves now, our pastors, there's a way in which our pastors need to be even better trained than they've been for, say, the last 30 years, which would include you and me, Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly. So the demands are enormously high. What we've got to come to grips is, what does this able to teach mean? What does this apt to teach mean in 1 Timothy chapter 3? The seminaries are here to make that happen, help make that happen, to work with the church to make that happen. I remain convinced that the best form for that is residential theological education at the seminary. I understand there may be exceptional circumstances where you would have a different way of carrying that out. But before we even get to the point of talking about the exceptions, we need to say this is what the thing is, and that's the challenge before us.